Hello, hello, hello. Oh, I want to start. I want to give you some encouragement. There's so many people discouraged, and trials and troubles and tribulations are happening to everyone. And I never want to be a downer. I always want to bring uplifting truth. And hang on. And then some of you that want some doom and gloom, you can hang out till I tell you, then stop listening, and I might give you a warning at the end. So a little bit of everything. I have some here that want the hard truth, and some like, don't tell me anything. So it's a real tight rope to walk here these days. And I wanted to bring my Hoya plant down, but it's getting so big I had to transplant it. And you know, you that know about my Hoya, the Hoya is growing, if you don't know, in the political arenas. And we're being gaslit on every side. If you don't know what gaslighting is, I do have a YouTube on that. Oh, and I wanted to make an announcement. Thanks to Mark, we are now on Rumble and BitChute. And
Rumble for sure.
BitChute, we're just kind of starting, right? But we'll take two weeks. But I kind of put one thing over there that I can't say on here, and I might be doing that more often. We'll see how it goes. I just wanted to say a couple things from Finland and Australia and Germany. And I wanted to read this one first. The Aussies, I love Australians. Aussies say G-Day, meaning good day. Thank you again for opening our eyes to what is really happening in our world. See, some people want to hear about it and other people don't. So there's this balance you got to walk on. She said, our council here in Australia has started issuing high density building permits to build one or two bedroom units on land that would normally have a four bedroom house built. The Victorian state government this year has mandated all new houses builds be all electric. It's becoming difficult to find replacement parts for our natural gas appliances. As we know that these are the agendas I've been telling you about, we are also being pressured to convert to all electric homes. A couple more things. We are being divided along racial lines. Isn't that something? Divide and conquer, as we've been teaching about. We Australians are known for giving everyone a fair go and are now seeing our national pride being eroded. Country after country can say the same. On a lighter note, we are now being told we should reduce the number of times we do our laundry, as our clothes contain synthetic fibers. The washing process releases them into the water, thereby contaminating the environment. And she goes, we will all start to stink. And it's like, I love her sense of humor. Him and her both. Thank you so much. And this is from Finland. You don't know how much this means to me when I get these emails. Every once in a while I get stoned. I had a stone this week, so I'm still trying to get it off of me. But this is a 75-year-old woman from Finland. She said, thank you for your good sermons. I've also been in wealth prosperity teaching. Terrible. So bad for family and people. I'm very tired to learn new. Aren't we all? But I must. She said the churches, stuff they're doing there, she says, I'm out of the church because they're all going crazy. She didn't say that, I did. I have some good friends and we stick together and learn what the Bible says and what it doesn't say, more or less. Thank you, big hug. Big hug from Finland. Big kisses from us. All right, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to give you an encouraging word. Okay, and then a warning at the end for just heads up, so I can give Carrie her. She likes her hard truth. Don't be ear tickling me. Straight and honest. All right. Now here, I love the whole chapter here in Hebrews 12. Read this when you have time. It's one of my favorite chapters about the race we're running and lay aside every weight and sin, and we have to run our races. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. The verses I want to talk about tonight are in verse 12, because this is a description of where many people are right now. They're discouraged, they're weary, they're tired, they're in battle fatigue. They have relationship problems. They're seeing that things are not as we thought they were. Yeah. And truth is being revealed. God is exposing things. He said he would, and things are being exposed, and people are having a hard time processing that they've been gaslit about almost everything. So wherefore, verse 12, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without no man shall see the Lord. So this is a picture of someone that's discouraged and ready to faint. And many times we get discouraged. This happens, that happens. I could list a whole bunch of things. Pressures, weariness, exhaustions. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, we get weary in doing the right thing. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one doing the right thing. Right. And nobody else wants to do the right thing. And watchmen get tired. And I want to encourage you, watchmen. We're all called to watch. But some people don't. Some people don't want to see nothing, don't want to hear nothing. But we all are called to watch. And sometimes you get tired watching. It's just like, oh, because then I got to blow the trumpet. Then I got to say something. And then you know what? Too much is given, much is required. So if we know truth, and a lot of times I've studied myself to help myself out of the pits that I was in, because we were in a lot of these different things. And you get weary because people don't want to hear from the watch what you're watching, what you're finding out. But we still stand. We have to stand at our posts. And having done all to stand, we'd be loyal, we'd be faithful, right? People disappoint us within the church, outside of the church, because people are having a hard time themselves these days. Life isn't turning out like you expected, and you're just tired of everything. Do you ever just get tired of everything? Well, here we are. Lift up those hands. Lift up. We got some tired people in here. So we get tired of watching. We get tired. I don't even want to hear that. I don't want to see that. Is this happening? Is this going to happen? Okay, now, is this fear-mongering or is this really facts? Because I try not to do any fear-mongering. I try to really do what we know is truth, okay? But we become discouraged, and what happens when you're discouraged, you lose interest. You lose interest in things. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't want to do anything. More people I've talked to go, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit home. I don't want to go out. I don't want to do anything. Well, you're in a spirit of discouragement. And it is a temptation for all of us to be discouraged, but we have to resist that temptation. We have to resist being discouraged, because that discouragement will come in and it'll choke us. So we lose our enjoyment. So 1 Thessalonians says, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. How are we sober? We put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet, the hope of our salvation. And I just want to encourage you about some things that are truth about you as a believer that should encourage you for the battle, give you strength to go forward, because we need to lift up those hands. We need to not stay discouraged, and we need to be around people that will encourage us in the Lord. And sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. David had to encourage himself in the Lord. And sometimes you can't wait for someone else to do it. You've got to encourage yourself. You've got to seek the Lord, and you've got to do what you need to do to be encouraged and worship the Lord. I've always been a worshiper. It's harder and harder to find good worship music. And that's how I spent most of my life until I realized a lot of these people were... So watchmen warn and wake people up. So why do they do that? So you're not blindsided by the enemy. God wants us to watch, and we can't get tired of watching. And they get tired. They get attacked from without, and they get attacked within. But watchmen must always be on guard, alert, and stand at his post. I have two boys, and I always say, Mom, retire. Well, I can't retire because I have to stand. And I have to keep warning and talking and encouraging, because I don't see enough people doing it. And then, oh, you get stoned because you're a woman and you talk. Okay, well, sorry, but there was Esther, and then there was Deborah, and there was a few in there, and there's a few in the New Testament too. So I don't buy all that stuff. don't even send me emails. I've had them, and I just go, delete. Why? Because I have to stand. I have to stand and do what God's told me to do. And I've even been offered free vacations to go here and there. And I was like, I can't. I can't leave my post right now. This, we're in a time, in a season where we have to share what we can. And we're being hindered on all sides. That's why we are going to these different platforms. But they are owned too. They're not, I mean, we just do what we can do while we can do it, okay? But here's the good news. Now in the Old Testament, now just think, if this was the Old Testament, we have a better covenant. That's why I say a lot of you people quit living in the Old Testament only. There's neither Jew nor Greek nor Gentile, male nor female. In Christ, we're all in Christ. So don't get hung up on all that old stuff. But so this is in the old to bring in the new. And this is Ezekiel. I love this chapter of Ezekiel 8. Read this. Take time and study it. But I'm going to give you a quick nut view here. Is that a good word? Bird's eye view. Not a real good word there. Okay. Ezekiel was shown in a vision what the house of Israel did in the dark. Okay, now if they did it then, guess what? They're still doing it now. He's letting us know a lot of times there's fronts, there's things going on, and people are not who you think they are. Because there's a devil loose, right? And he loves to get in, and God lets us know he wants to get right inside of our temples, our tabernacle. He can't get inside of us now because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not out building a third temple. Amen. We don't need to. That's not us. We are the temple, right? Right. So here he saw the idols on the walls, and the Lord let him see through that hole. Remember that story? It was disgusting and evil things. They were sun worshipers, and they still are. Mm-hmm. It's paganism. They had the olive branch under their nose. They still are. Look up all these logos for the UN and all that stuff. It's paganism. They filled the land with violence, it said. They put the branch to their nose, and God's judgment falls on the wicked. And remember, the enemy's time is short, but there's judgment going to fall on the wicked. In Ezekiel 9:4, they're slain. The wicked are slain. But this is one of my favorite verses, and it has been for years. God ordered the protective mark upon the foreheads of those that sigh and cry who are vexed by all the wickedness. He had a man with linen, he was a writer with an ink. He's probably an angel. Who knows? There's some things that we don't fully understand now. But he marked those. And so when God's judgment came, they were saved. Now, if they were saved under the Old Testament, before Jesus came, right? But God saw their heart. God knows. He's the ultimate judge. He marked them. He marked them. So I want to tell you, this mark of the beast and all this other stuff, he's copying and he's counterfeiting what God has already done. You are marked. You're marked. You're his. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. And he's put a mark on us, upon our foreheads already. Protection was given for those who had the mark. The land was full of blood and perverseness. God knows who are his. Yes. And we're marked for him. And I want you to be encouraged by that. Because the mark of the beast, Revelations 13, 16 through 19, you guys can read that. But this identifies people as the followers of Satan and worshipers of the Antichrist, worshipers of the beast. And a lot of people go, well, is this the beast? We're in a beast system, yes. But when we're talking about those that are worshiping the Antichrist, there has to be a worshiping and a signing over to worship. We do not do that. We as Christians, we accepted the Lord as our Savior, and inside of us, God gave us the Holy Spirit who sealed us. Nobody can break that seal. You're God's. You belong to him. That should encourage you, right? 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows who are his. And then what are we supposed to do? Trust in the Lord, endure to the end, depart from sin. Those who trust in Jesus possess the seal of God. What is that seal? Back in the old times, they'd have a seal, and no one could open up that seal but the king, right? And they would know if that seal was broken. Well, God sealed us. That's a down payment. You know when you go put a down payment on a house? Because it's yours. You know you're coming, but you got to have a down payment. The Holy Spirit is our down payment. John 6:27, God the Father has sealed us into everlasting life. When we believe in Romans 10, 8 through 10, if you aren't a believer, go to Romans 8, 10, 8 through 10, say that prayer, accept Jesus into your life, into your heart, accept him. And then we believed we were marked with a seal, the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance and that we are God's possession. No one can break the seal of God. Ephesians 1, the devil can do everything, but he can't take away that you belong to God. The outward man might perish, goes away, but God knows who are his. And you are marked for the kingdom. You are marked for him. Ha ha, the devil and the mark of the beast, and everyone's freaking out over that. You're marked for God. And if you ever just want to have the fear of God, go read the book of Revelation. You see what, you talk about the end and what's really going to happen to the enemy. You're going to be really glad you're on the Lord's side. Now, right now, there seems like God's letting some of the restraining get off, but the Holy Spirit still is in the earth to restrain the devil. He's not going to be able to do what he wants to do while the restrainer and the Holy Spirit is still here, because God is still trying to get people saved, right? So Ephesians 1:13, God's children are sealed. Go read that. Let's read it ourselves. Ephesians, sometimes you just have to see it yourself. Ephesians 1, verse 13, in whom you are also trusted, that after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. Our eternity, it really starts. It's already started because we're living in the Spirit now. But even though they kill the outward man, you have an inheritance forever. You have to remember that when you're going through stuff. We stand, having done all to stand, good times, bad times, people don't want to hear it, whatever, we stand, we're watchmen, we do what God's told us to do, no more, no less, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You are purchased with the blood of Jesus. You've been bought for, you've been paid for, unto the praise of his glory. Okay, so you are sealed in the midst of the wickedness of the world, the Holy Spirit, he has a job to do. And he lives in you. When you accepted the Lord, I remember I had that experience. I was like, everything looked different for me. I had a traumatic experience when I was, 20, going to be 21, because I was really depressed. I was really down. And sometimes God gives you more, whatever you need. Some of you didn't have that much. I did. I had encounters back then before I heard about the NAR, the weirdness. That's kind of why I fell into some of that stuff, is that because when I got saved, I worked at a very expensive Jewish men's store. And I'd just gotten my fashion merchandise degree, and they put me in this place. And when I got there, I don't know, I'd been saved then, and I was witnessing to everybody. I mean, I was. And then when people would get hired at my job, they'd go, oh, there's Roberta, she's going to witness to you, she's going to try to get you saved. I mean, I didn't even have to witness. They witnessed for me. People got saved there, and one ended up being a pastor, by the way. But anyway, I said all that to say, I had this guy, he was walking, we worked in a mall, and he was walking with me, and he was demonic. I could sense it, I could feel it, and he talked to me just like a demon would talk to you. I mean, you guys, I had these experiences, just like when the Spirit spoke out, there was a couple of times, and this was one of them. I don't think I've ever shared this publicly before. And I was just new, I didn't know anything. I just got saved. I really didn't. I don't even know if I think I did find a church, but I didn't have very many friends. And this guy was as into the devil as I was into the Lord. And he basically told me, we'll see who wins. And he actually tried to demonically, the demon realm is real, but we don't have to be afraid of it, because here I'm a brand new believer knowing nothing. And he tried to astral project onto me when I was by myself. I was just a young believer, and I felt this demonic presence, and all I said was, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and I rebuked that thing. And do you know that that guy saw me the next, after he did that, and he quit. He literally quit his job. And right there, I just thought, boy, there's power. Jesus has more power than the devil. This guy was into satanic stuff. I don't know how I got off on that, but we're bought and paid for. The devil can't pluck you out of his hands, even though he scares you and tries to do this and that. I just saw as a young believer trusting in God when I was fighting spiritual battles. Little did I know that I was going to be into all this warfare. But people would always say, I'm going to see you preaching over here on this street corner because that's all you want to do is preach, preach, preach. I wrote every single person in my family, they need to get born again. Some of them did, still have the letters. But anyway, God changes you. You're his possession. No one can break that seal. God's children are sealed, marked, and secure. In the midst of the wickedness of the world, the Holy Spirit will help us. And he helped me. He helped me having to deal with that satanic realm, which I knew nothing about. I didn't even know the devil was real. I just was like, whoa. But he helped me. In whatever situation we find ourselves, the Holy Spirit, he's been sent to help us. And we need to pray for wisdom. How do I deal with this? Right? The Holy Spirit helps us. He repents. There's times when I first got saved, I was driving down, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, stop! And I slowed way down. There was an accident I just barely missed. And I'm telling you, I heard the Lord saved my life that day. And then this, I didn't even know this scripture. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I went and looked it up, and I'm like, it's in there. It's in there. So there are real experiences. And some people have them and some don't. I guess God gives you what he thinks you need. So the Holy Spirit helps us. And when we walk with the Holy Spirit, he gives us fruits. We're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to be patient. All these different things that the Holy Spirit gives us is love. All of a sudden, you should love people. If you're born again and you have his Spirit in you, you should love people. If people don't love people, I wonder, are they saved? Yeah. Because the Holy Spirit gives you love for his people. When he puts you in the body of Christ, we're there to serve each other and love each other. What else does the Holy Spirit do? He's our helper. John 14:26. He helps us pray. We pray and we ask for wisdom. And most of us that have come out of these bad movements don't even know how to pray anymore because we were taught that, you know, you don't really need God. You just command, decree, declare. You do this, that, this, and the other. So, he's our helper. He's going to help us how to relearn how to pray. And the simple things is, Lord, just cry out like a child. Stay humble. Trust him. He's our comforter as we go through this hostile world. He gives us peace. When my son went through surgery and I didn't know if he was going to live, and he was only a few months old, I had the peace that passes understanding. I couldn't believe I wasn't freaked out. It was just like this supernatural. God's got us. In situations that we cannot handle, he's got us. In the death of people we cannot handle, God gives us comfort. The Holy Spirit. We're to yield to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, read that whole chapter, and not give place to the flesh. The flesh gets angry, gets bitter. The flesh does all this and that. We're not supposed to give place to that. There's so many times I'd like to say things. I know all the words, but I don't. Why? Because the Holy Spirit helps you. Sometimes the best thing to do is to say nothing. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger. Oh, I need a Kleenex too. The one day we don't put it up here, I need it. Yay, I'm human. Okay, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So those are all good words, aren't they? So I'm going to close with this last thing. Now, all you people that can't handle any truth, bye. See you now. There are some people that just can't take any more right now. And I understand. They're just fried. They're just burnt. And some days I'm that way. It's like, you know, I really don't want to hear anything today. But yeah, this is for, yeah. All right. I just have a warning for the body of Christ. And it comes back. There's a lot of things I can't really say, so we're going to have to kind of read between the lines. History repeats itself when we don't learn. And many times the enemy He is. He's a liar, but he's not a good liar. You'd think he'd be better at it than he is.
Yes.
He's been doing it forever. He's a murderer from the beginning, and he's a liar. But my concern has always been for the church and for what's coming for the church. And we've already seen in history things that have happened to the church, and people don't know history because they don't study for whatever reasons, or their leaders are not sharing things because they are more interested in having numbers than they are of teaching people what's really happening. Jesus never was an ear tickler. Go read all the places that Jesus talked. You snakes, you viper. Oh, that wasn't too encouraging. He didn't care. He spoke truth, right? So there's a lot of people that know about Bonhoeffer, and people are talking about him right now. He was a Lutheran pastor, and there's a lot of things I don't know. There's some things I read, I'm like, okay, I don't agree with that, but there's a lot of things that I can say I do agree with. And one of the things he said that I really believe our world right now is something that he said that needs to hear. He gave a radio address July 23rd, 1933, in which he warned that when a people idolize a leader, the image of the leader will gradually become the image of the misleader. Thus, the leader makes an idol of himself, and he mocks God. Before these last sentences were broadcast, his microphone was mysteriously shut off. He kept reminding anyone who would listen that the church has only one altar before which it must kneel, and that is the altar of the Almighty. The pride of the church, he said, must be rebuked by the humiliation of the cross. And I'm just reading a couple of things here because my concern is for Christians being deceived, because the first thing happens, they get deceived, then they get divided, right? And this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to bring the church down. And there is a false church rising, but there's always a remnant. God always has a remnant. But he said it was a struggle within a church that had voluntarily embraced the German nationalism of the day. Take heed of that word. The church must proclaim a Christ who stands above politics, above the sacred and the secular. We are being roped into a whole thing that most people have no idea what's coming. But if you know history, you're going to see that we're being promised more power, more Christian leaders are going to have this. This is a repeat of what has already happened in history. I guess I can't name his name, but you guys know who I'm talking about in Germany, right? He surprised the Protestants by insisting that his own personal friend be elected bishop. And they called them the German Christians, who were also known as the Faith Movement. They supported his candidate. And this is what is happening right before our eyes, that some people can't handle it. Meanwhile, the German Christians, or the Faith Movement people, completed a new church. Their slogan was one state, one people, one church. They endorsed his positive Christianity, saying, "This man is the way of the Spirit and the will of God for the German people to enter the Church of Christ." So they come off as Christians. They come off saying what people want to hear. And this is the deception, is that, do you know what this even means? Do you know how the politics want to run the church and the state? The Christians adorned their altars with these certain flags, and they had their congregations join in this certain salute. And the pastors themselves wore these uniforms. I don't want to be one of those leaders that says, we're just going to make, you know, we're just going to leave here without any trouble. We're just going to submit to all this, I call it beautiful sunshine. Submit to all this BS, right? And all this Hoya. Because the enemy wants to deceive your soul. And he wants us to follow someone and make them our idol. And we have to know, no man can save you. Jesus Christ has already bought you with a price. He's given you a seal. And be careful when someone comes around and they're going to promise you all of this stuff because it's already happened. And that's why the church got deceived. That's why Christians got deceived. That's why they ended up killing the church. And the false church rises when the real church dies. But guess what? The real church never really does die. It goes underground. Right?
Yeah.
So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you we're sealed. People need to hear good news that we are marked for you. You're already on our forehead. You already know. And through our hands, through everything we do, through our life, through our work, everything, you know who's yours. My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they do not follow. Father, we thank you for encouraging us not just to focus on the mark of the beast, of what they've already done this before in different countries, way back in Rome, all these different things. And the scarlet, the Bible says that the woman will ride the beast. The false church will rise, but we don't have to be a part of it. You do not want us to be a part. That's why you said, come out of her, my people. And I pray people would get a hunger for the Bible so they'd know the thing to fear is not the enemy. The thing to have a healthy fear is the Lord. Because after all this wickedness and all this violence, judgment will come. But you are going to save and you're going to protect your own, those that are marked for you by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. We thank you for our testimonies, Lord, that you brought us out and you're stronger. You have defeated the enemy. But he's got a few years where he's doing this and that and the other thing. And you said it so. You said there's going to be a time there's going to be persecution. There's going to be a time people are going to lose their head. The Noahide laws, all these different things that the presidents have already signed that people don't have any clue about. I just pray, Lord, you'd give people wisdom and a hunger to know the truth and to take a stand. Regardless of what it costs us, we have to stand, having done all to stand and stand to the end. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, the Living in His Presence Church channel on Rumble, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.